Good evening. Good to see all of you tonight. It's always a blessing and it's a privilege that we have when we can come together in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, I thank each of you. I thank all of you for listening and the attention you're going to give to this lesson. Not going to talk as long tonight. Thank all of you for the good week you have given me. This week is going so fast. I had a great dinner today and all of the other days. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fellowship that we are enjoying. And thank all of you for coming tonight. And those of you who might be visiting for the first time, I want to join with the brothermans here and thanking you for coming. If you got questions, I told somebody earlier that to get questions, I'll talk to them about it later. But thank all of you. They ask you a question. And kind of like a fellow said up in Sandusky one time. I was in a meeting. And he says, if you got any questions, I think I can answer your question, give you an answer. So just ask me any question that you have. Well, I don't make it quite that broad, brother. I says, any question that you got in regard to the Bible, we'll try to answer it. If we don't know the answer, we'll look for one out of God's Word. This fellow that asked that question, this preacher, Brother Holt out of Indiana, and a sister rose up in there and she says, well, I want to ask you a question since you can ask him. He said, yes, he asked me. And she says, I had an automobile accident. I got an insurance claim coming. When do you think I'm going to get my money? So, brethren, you always want to qualify those things. But I thank all of you for being here tonight, and I appreciate so much your presence. And this week has been going so fast. And I want to thank the brothers, the sisters, and the preachers for the work that you're doing here. We're all working in Christ's vineyard. And so I'm glad. I appreciate the work Brother Wright and Sister Wright are doing, and all of the elders and all of the brethren and sisters, and I thank all of you. Well, tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about things you cannot separate, things you cannot separate. I want you to remember that. Tonight is things that you cannot separate. Brethren, there are some things that you can separate and other things that you can't. And I'm going to talk about that some tonight. But I don't want to hold you too long, but I want to just hold you long enough to talk about two, three, four points. Things you cannot separate. The first thing that I want to make mention of is husband and wife. Things you cannot separate. Husband and wife. You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 done some healing and teaching, and I'm going to paraphrase a lot in order to not take up too much time. But somebody come and ask Jesus a question. And they wanted to know, Lord, can you write a bill of divorcement for your wife for any cause? And then he went on and said, Moses, that we would give them a bill of divorcement. In other words, they was testing Jesus. Read Matthew chapter 19 all the way through. Do it if you read the whole chapter. But Jesus says, Moses did that because of the hardness of your heart. But know what else he said. He said, but from the beginning, it was not so. It was not so. God never intended divorcement. He said, from the beginning, it was not so. In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, we find that in 2, look at verses 18 to 24. When they were looking at everything God had created, God didn't find no mate, nobody that was compatible with Adam. And the Bible took a rib from Adam's side and he made a woman. And he brought her to Adam. Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he called a woman. And we learned more about that. I talked a little bit about it last night in Genesis chapter 3 when the devil appeared to Adam, to Joseph, to Adam's wife, Miss Eve. And you know what happened. When God come into the garden, when he found out what happened, Adam told him, that woman you gave me, justifying himself. And he told him, you gave her to me. Really, he was trying to pass the responsibility of transgressing God's law on. I told you all last night, the devil talked to Miss Eve. He asked her some questions. And the Bible says she was deceived by the devil. And the Bible said, they eat of that tree, you're going to die. I'll talk some more about that later on. You'll die. I had problems with that at one time when I was just a child. Because when Adam, Miss Eve done that, they lived on. I wondered about that. But anyway, brothers and sisters, the Bible never intended for there to be man and wife divorced. It. Marriage is a permanent thing. And there are only two reasons. It's death. Romans 7 said when a man, a woman dies, the woman is free from the man and the man is free from the woman. Death ends that marriage relationship. That's the reason why. That's when a man's wife died or the woman's husband dies, the other one is free to contract another marriage. But not so. If not. And Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 9. The only other excuse is. The only other justifiable reason. Is that immorality. Fornication if you please. God gives the innocent party a right to divorce and remarriage. That's right. And the Bible says when she divorces, of when that divorce happened, I was in Florida, Dade County, and the only problem, now some of y'all can talk to me about it later. They was warned by the F.O. White. He's a conservative man. He was wanting me to move down there, and they was, I come up one morning, him and two or three, four other brothers, and they sat down at the table, started asking me questions. And he said, Brother James, I want to ask you this question. If a man puts away his wife for immorality, she's put away for adultery, can that same man, if he decides that he want to forgive her, can he marry her? I said, what is your point, brethren? He said, the Bible says, whosoever marries that woman that's put away is in adultery. Would that include the one that put her away if he wanted to forgive her and remarry? Y'all can tell me about that later. But brethren, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. For those two reasons, death and adultery, the only two things. Death automatically puts you away. Just like we are free from the law of Moses. It died when Christ died. So is a man free. The Bible says a woman is bound by the law of her husband as long as he liveth. But if he's dead, she's free. So thank you, brethren, on that. There are some things you cannot separate. You can't separate that. And I want to say this about marriage. Marriage is the seriousest thing. Listen at this. You can't make a contract nowhere more serious than marriage. Because it's a permanent thing. Homes need to teach their children that when you contract a marriage, when you say I do, you know, I've learned in later years, I don't perform a lot of marriages. Because brothers and sisters, there's nothing more serious than that. Nothing. And people today, if you go and talk to folks that's 30 years old, I'm going to put it up that high, most of them has got several marriages. I remember when I settled a job. One fellow was getting married. I won't call his name, but he was getting married, and somebody come to me and says, James, you know, so-and-so is getting married again this week. And I knew the fellow well. We met again up there in the cafeteria, and I says, they told me that you're married. I says, and the fellow that was with me was a young man. He said, do you get nervous when you get married? And this fellow told him, no more. I used to. But I've been married so much now, I've been getting married so often, that I don't have no fear of it now. I just pass on through it. Now, what are you going to do with this man when he comes to the church? Brethren, let me tell you something. Don't take marriage lightly. Mothers and fathers, teach your daughters and your sons what a serious responsibility this is. Because you can't separate that. Them some things you can't separate. There are some things you can't separate, and that is one of them. One of them. Remember when you say I do that you know what you're doing. Now, I don't know whether I ever told y'all about this, but there was a man. They say down in Vandosa, Georgia. Good Christian man, good Christian family, good Christian girl. And she met a young gentleman. And they both were single. Both of them had, neither one of them had ever been married. They were young folks. And this fella asked out, this young boy. And they went out. Say, at the breakfast table the next morning, the father asked her, was he a gentleman? Who was that fella last night? Was he a gentleman, that boy? And she told him, yes. Said, Dad, he was a finer boy as I ever met. He was a strictly gentleman. He says, how you like him? She says, I really liked him. But I didn't like his nose. He said, what? Said, no, I didn't like his nose. I ain't going to tell you what he said was wrong with his nose. But says, I didn't like that. Said the dad ran back at the breakfast table and told her, honey, you can't separate that. If you want the man, you got to take his nose. You can't separate him and his nose. And I'm going to tell you, brother, there are some things you can't separate. You can't separate. You can't separate a man and his wife. All right. Now, here's another one. Y'all make note of that. You can't separate Christ and the church. You can't separate Christ and salvation. There's some things you just can't separate. Now, the reason I'm making mention of this point is most people, and you see it on these TV evangelists all the time. Most people says, I accept Christ, but I don't like the Church of Christ. Most of these denominational preachers will say, I like Christ, but you go to the church of your choice. That's a very popular doctrine. Once you get saved, they use that word, get saved, you go to the church of your choice. Brother, there ain't no such language in the Bible. Nothing about it. There is none. Now, I'm going to tell you why you can't separate it in this lesson tonight. The Bible tells you in Ephesians 5 and verse 23 that the church is the body of Christ. That's what the church is. The church is the body of Christ, brethren. And it tells you also in that same context that the church is his body. And it also tells you in 23 down through 25, so on. 23 through 32. He is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Look at verse 23, if you please. Ephesians 5. Colossians 1 and verse 18, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The Bible identified the church as the body and the body as the church. The church is the kingdom. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, you're translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that Christ is the head of the church. Now, the reason I'm making this point, brethren, you can't accept Christ and reject his body. I can't see why folks can't see that. You can't reject the church of Christ and be a Christian and have Christ. You can't have Christ, Holy Spirit, not a Lord God of heaven, Jehovah God. There's three in the Godhead, and you got to accept them. To have one is to have them all. And the Bible said the church is the body of Christ. How are you going to accept Christ? That's what they teach. And reject the body. You can't preach Christ and not preach the body, the church. You can't preach him. You can't preach Christ, that you can accept Christ and reject the body. Now, I told you all when I was here one time that Christ's blood is the same place your blood. Your blood is in your body. My blood is in mine. And Christ's blood is in his body. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. But where is that cleansing at? It's in the body of Christ. It's foolish to talk about being cleansed by the blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Brethren, when you are cleansed, reach that blood. John 19, verse 34, you'll enter the body of Christ. The same thing that makes you a Christian will add you to the body of Christ. Let's remember that. You can't separate that between Christ and the body. And I'll tell you something else you can't separate, brother. You can't separate Christ and obedience. I can remember one time my brother and I was down. The brother, he don't go to church now either, but he sure made a good point that day. I was talking to a preacher. And I rode down with him. He's a farmer. And I went down with him. And the place he went to was a preacher. But something happened. We got into a little bit of a Bible argument. Sure did. The preacher there, he was a full-time preacher at a church. And... But he didn't believe in baptism. And I told him we had done what we were supposed to do. And I told him, he says, why do you go to church as I'm Church of Christ? He says, oh, you one of them folks. I said, I'm one of them folks, yeah. I'm Church of Christ. So he raised the question. You one of them that believes in water salvation? I told him, no. Mm-mm. I said, but I believe that you got to do what Jesus said do in order to be saved, if that's what you're talking about. So I quoted Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth that and he is baptized shall be saved. And I made a point to him. I says, Jesus put two conditions there, right there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And most school teachers will tell you, and is a conjunctive word in the English language. It makes one thing as important as the other one. He that believeth and is baptized. I said, belief and baptism are equally important. And he didn't talk too much about that. He said, well, I just think if you believe in Jesus and something happened to you, you can be saved. I don't think you got to do that. Well, I got a brother older than me. But brother, I can't get him to go to service with me. Matter of fact, he come by to visit with me this morning. He's 3-4 years older than me. 5, maybe. And it was heating up. He'd asked the preacher, he said, well, I want to ask you a question. He believed. He's a member of the church, but he hadn't attended it for a long time. The preacher said, what do you want to ask me? He said, I want to ask you, can you be saved without obedience? He says in Hebrew 5 in verse 9 that you have to obey. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but they that will do the will of his Father. That's where it's at. You can't separate salvation and obedience. The fellow didn't say much after that. He didn't have much to say. But brethren, you can't separate that. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't separate that. You can't separate that. Now, Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and verse 37, he said, somebody asked a question, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And verse 36, Peter said, let all the households of Israel know it surely that God has made that same Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, brethren, I say every time I preach, I take my hat off to Peter. Because there are so many ways, sister, that he could have rearranged that. He could have said, I want you to know that God has made that same Jesus that somebody assassinated around here. But he didn't do that. He pointed his finger. He says, I want you to know that you crucified. And if you look at Acts 3, chapter 3, you'll find that Peter told him, you did it out of ignorance. You acted out of your ignorance. They should have known better. I told you all last night in Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, I told you these things. The thing that happened to Jesus, Jesus that taught it. Jesus, Peter stood up and preached it. I want you to know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And you know what happened. They asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what did Peter tell them to do? Peter said, repent. And be baptized, that Edward and again, for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes folks ask me, what was that gift? If you all want to know what that was, there's nothing miraculous about that. I'll tell you. I'll talk to you about it. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is unto you and to your children as many that's afar off. And the Bible says Peter went on down and he told them in Acts 2 and verse 40, save yourself. Save yourself. And Acts 2:41 says, they that gladly received his word was baptized. And about 3,000 souls were saved. They heard one sermon. They heard one sermon. You can't separate baptism and repentance. You can't separate that, brother. Repent and be baptized. That "and" is a conjunctive word. It made repentance is just as important as baptism. You can't leave off none of that and be saved. And about 3,000 people heard it, believed it, and obeyed it. And the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 47 that the Lord added them to the church daily. Searches were being saved. And I went over last night in Revelation 22. The Bible talks about anybody's name not found written in the book be cast into the lake of fire. Brethren, listen. You can't separate that. You can't separate that. You can't separate that. You can't separate that. And there's another thing, brethren, you can't separate. You can't separate sin and death. You can't separate that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The Bible teaches there that sin and death go together. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of God's law. What did that mean? That simply means that when you go beyond what God has said, when you add or you subtract, he that transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. You can't separate that. Now, let me tell you this. When God told Adam and Eve that the day you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall surely die. And sister, I used to have trouble with that. I said, if man done sinned, the Bible says he went and did what God told him not to do. God have driven him out of the garden so that he didn't have no access to the tree of life. God then told him from the sweat of your brow, you're going to make your living from now on. You had it made when you was in the garden. Everything you needed, you had. You had it made. Did y'all know that work is a curse? That's right. If Adam had never sinned, had Miss Eve and Adam not ate of that tree that God told them not to eat of, you know they had eternal life. You had everything you needed. But God told Adam, after he'd driven him out, the garden, God says it wasn't good for him to live forever in that state. Driven him out of the garden, and they put a sword around it so that he wouldn't have no access. The first murder happened in the garden. But you know what caused it? It was sin. It was sin. It was sin that killed all of us. All of you know what you lost in the garden. And you can't separate sin and death. You can't separate the church and salvation. You can't separate the church and Christ. None of those things can be separated. And you can't separate salvation and obedience. The Bible says there that you got to obey him. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but they that will do the will of the Father. Brethren and sisters, there are some things you can't separate. You can't separate that. Now, just like I mentioned to you last night, that great gulf existed between Lazarus and the rich man. That gulf exists today between us and God, those of us that haven't obeyed the Scripture. You know why the Bible is called good news? You know one of the things that makes it good? Because I'm going to give you back what you lost. It's good news that you can live forever. That Jesus has come and died, shed his blood. Let me get this thing here back going. And shed his blood that we through him may have a right. Everlasting life. That's what's good about it. You know when Jesus said in Revelation 14:13, blessed are they that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. What is so blessed about one that does this? What is the blessing? You can't live here on this earth forever. All of you know that. We don't have to argue that point. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul knew that the folks in there in Thessalonica had the same problem. He told them about what was going to happen. When Christ come back, he said, when Christ come back, he's coming back in the clouds. And he told them what was going to happen. He told them, don't worry like those that died of Christ. He said, blessed are they, all of those that's dead and rest in Christ. What he said they're going to do? He said they're coming back. They're going to meet him in the clouds. When they meet him, he said he's going to ever be with the Lord. And that last verse in that fourth chapter, he said, now what I want you all to do is to comfort one another with these words. That's right. Don't you be overly concerned about it. Paul said when he come back, he's not coming back by himself. He says, I want you to know he's going to bring all of the redeemed out of saved with him. That's right. Yeah. It's a blessing. Brethren, what's sad about it is this. If you die out of Christ, You got something to be concerned about. Because there's only one thing. And one, you know, there's so many ones in the Bible. There's one church. There's one way to become a Christian. There ain't but one way to live right. And there ain't but one way to die right. And if you die outside of Christ, you know what's going to happen to you? You'll be tormented forever and forevermore. Paul told them, comfort one another with these words. Worry not as others that have no hope. For all those that died in Christ, that rest, sleep in Christ, God's going to bring him with them. I remember when I lost my wife. And I remember the preacher that was preaching here, and I was here. And he stood and told me, I think his name was JT. He said, Brother James, this is the scripture he referred to. He said, you'll see your wife again. All those that are asleep in Jesus, God is going to bring them with them. Let me ask you all this question. Bring this lesson to a close. I always say, because most of the time, there is somebody that need to do some fixing. There is somebody that need to be baptized. Sometime there is somebody else that need to come forth and make a confession and ask the Lord to pray with them and for them. Sometime. Most of the time. Brethren, I want to tell you one thing. There's a lot of dangerous things you can do. But you know what are the most dangerous things you can do? Is postpone this. If there's something in your life that you fear, if you could pass on. Brethren, let me tell you, you can fix it tonight. And it won't cost you nothing. I was preaching up at Norwalk. And a sister come to me. She said, Brother James, I want to talk to you. I talked to her. She said, I don't go to church much now. I said, what's your trouble, sister? She says, I know I can't be saved. I know what I've done. I know what's separating me. She says, is there anything I can do? I said, yeah. Yeah, I told her what to do. God fixed it so I don't, that you can be saved. But there might be other things that you'll be restricted to. But I told her. And she come up that night. Sit on that seat. She said, I want to ask the Lord, pray for me. Ask the Lord to forgive me for what I've done. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You don't want to take that chance. You don't want to take it. Some of you might say tonight, Brother Barnes is preaching the truth. I got some things in my life need to be fixed. But I ain't going to do it tonight. I'm going to try to get to it later. You might not be here. This might be your last invitation. This might be the last time that you'll hear somebody get up. Might be the last time you hear a preacher plead for you and beg you to come forth. Why don't you do it tonight? There are some things you cannot separate. Acts chapter 8. That was a man named Simon. Committed a sin. He had been baptized. But Peter told him what to do. 1 John chapter 1 says, if anyone confess that sin, God is faithful and just to forgive them. Brethren, let me tell you, that's plan two. Somebody said, well, Brother James, I ain't never heard of plan two. Plan two is the everyday plan. Once you are baptized, if you haven't been scripturally baptized, you need to do that. And if you have done something that's going to give you trouble at the gate, come and use plan two. Repent and praying and ask the church to pray with you and for you that your sins be forgiven. Who leading the singing tonight? Come on over, brother. Okay. So we're going to sing that invitation song. And if there's anybody here that need to obey the gospel, I'm going to ask you to do it while we stand and while we sing.